How many of you know who Heidi Baker is?
Anybody know who Heidi Baker is?
Missionary in Mozambique. And so I'm listening, watching on YouTube this morning, watching. I've been listening to her and Bill Johnson all weekend. And I love how Heidi Baker is just a crazy woman for Jesus. This woman just loves Jesus, and she listens to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And she, you know, she's called to take the gospel to different places. And she was sharing this particular video I was watching this morning, how when she sees sick people, she just gets excited because she says, "Oh, Lord, an opportunity." You know, and so she's in, well, I forget what mission, in Indonesia. I don't know where she was at the time. But she's walking down the street, and she was saying how she smelled this great stench. And she knew what the stench was. It was rotting flesh. And because there was a leper not too far from her. And so she got all excited and said, "Lord, you know, just whatever you want me to do." And so think about this because of what the scripture says. He made it to prosper in his hand. And so she says, you know, she likes to hug people, so she was going to go up to him and hug him. But the Lord said, "No, don't hug him. What I want you to do is I want you to go up and grab his hand and squeeze it real hard." And so but there's pus and everything oozing out of his hand. And so she goes up to him and grabs his hand and squeezes it real hard, because she's at the place that when she hears the voice of God, she does not question it. She just does it. When she hears the voice. Now, the thing about the voice, you got to understand, listen, there has never been a time that God has spoken and nothing happened. Now, I can tell you right now, that didn't hit us the way it's going to hit us later. Listen, there has never been a time when God has spoken and nothing happened. Which means every time God speaks, something is going to happen. So listen, when you hear the voice of God. This is why this is burning in my spirit. I'm praying for you that you would hear the voice of God. Because when you do, beloved, everything's going to change if you obey what he's saying. And so Heidi goes up to the man, grabs his hand, squeezes it hard. And of course, the pus is getting all in her hand. And she said, and the next thing the Holy Spirit said was, "Stomp on his foot." I mean, stomp on his foot. And the next second she had his hand in it, and she picked up her foot and slammed it down on the leper's foot. And the leper went, "Ah!" Screaming this blood curdling scream. And she went, "God." Because she went on to say, because everybody knows that a leper has no sensation in their feet. All of the nerves are gone. When she stepped on his foot, he was instantly healed from head to toe of leprosy. Instantly healed. God just made him white as snow, just clean as snow. Why? All of that happened because she heard and obeyed the voice of God. And I had to come to church, so I stopped the video. I said, when I go back home, I'm going to finish watching the video. And so, let me read this next one for you. Genesis 39:23, the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. We all, as I look around here, we all have different circumstances in our life. We're in different seasons of life. We have some things we want to change. We have some things we need to change. And so we go on and we in the fight and in the struggle, and we go on, right? But let me tell you something that will change it all. And you know what that is. One word. One word. Just one word from God changes everything. I listened to Bill Johnson, and he was talking about one of his favorite scriptures, and he had mentioned about the four lepers who Elisha had prayed, you know, when Jerusalem was under siege. And, you know, when God gave one word to an impossible situation. People are starving in the city. You can't even buy a donkey's head. There's nothing left. Everything is gone. And the king sends to the prophet and says, what is God saying about what is he going to do about this? And the prophet sends the message back to the king and says, king, tomorrow, by this time tomorrow, you're going to be feasting in this city. And when God speaks, you have to be ready to believe. Because God, when he says things, he will say things that will totally blow your mind. He says, God thinks. He says, God thinks. Which means, to us, that translates as impossible. I mean, that's what he does. And so he says, and then the king's messenger says, well, if the windows of heaven were open, could such a thing even happen? And he mocked the word of God. He mocked it. Wherefore the judgment of the Lord came upon him. He says, you'll see it, but you won't partake of it. And you know the rest. And so, you know, I guess I'm a little stirred up because this past week God spoke a word to me. He spoke a word that fixed something. My God, he spoke. I'm still thanking him that he spoke. Because he spoke something that fixed something in me. Years, it fixed it. Fixed it. I mean, he fixed it. One word. I said, my God, thank you. One word. One word. Just hearing the voice of God. I should just go ahead and preach. Am I preaching? I'm preaching. I'm hallelujah. I should just go ahead and preach what I got. Should I just go ahead and preach? Should I go ahead and preach this? Amen. Let me tell you. I'll tell you what. So we're going to forget the, whatever, all that stuff we do. We're going to forget that for right now. Let me share, because I want to show you, because it's actually in our teaching for today. Let me do this. Let me roll over to Hebrews, and I'll read a couple scriptures, because that's all we were going to look at anyhow. It was really two verses. And I want to just share. I'm not going to share the bulk of all this other stuff I got. You see, because when the Holy Spirit speaks, it makes you be quiet. And you just need to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. So where I was going to, let me kind of mix these two together. Our text for today was going to be Hebrews chapter 11, verses 31, where is it? Let me look here. Excuse me. 30 and 31, which reads, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Now, with those two scriptures right there. Matter of fact, not only those two scriptures. Everything that we are talking about in the book of Hebrews, in particular chapter 11, you know, it has to do with faith. By faith, Enoch was not, right? Because he had this testimony that he pleased God. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things that would happen in the future, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, so forth and so on. And it goes, by faith, by faith, by faith. And I've said this to you before. Because I read it in the scripture, the Holy Spirit says it to me. But how many of you know that sometimes, that in order for you to get something, how many of you know sometimes when the first time you hear something, you don't get it? Anybody like that? Or is it just me? You know, I, I, I believe that we're all like that. I mean, I believe 10 times, is that right? Okay. See, because God came to Abraham in Genesis 12 and said, leave your country. He says, I'm going to make you a great nation and all these things. You know, it wasn't long after that, God came back again to Abraham and said, Abraham, you remember what I said, right? And God repeated himself. And God came back to him again in Genesis 15, again in Genesis 22. And God kept saying, and so he repeats himself. But this is what I said. And this is what, you know, is so vital to us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? Now, we like to harp a lot on faith, and we love teaching on faith. And that's good, because faith is prime, to central to the teaching of the gospel. But what I am after right now, what I'm on is what, you know, God says to me, says, son, me first. Me first. Okay? Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, if God does not speak, it is impossible for man to have faith. Watch. Because the story I just shared with you. You know, Heidi goes up to this leper. She's walking down the street. She's just minding her business, walking down the street, and she sees this leper. And God said, did you hear? I'm excited that she did what she did. But what I'm more excited about is the fact that God said. You see? Because if he said something to her, then that means he can say something to you. And he'll say something to me. And so God said to squeeze that leper's hand. God said, slam your foot down on his foot. And when she obeyed, God performed the miracle. Listen, whenever God speaks and we obey, there is always divine interaction. Whenever God speaks and it's mixed with faith, you can hear different messages. All that's Hebrews chapter 4. It says that the gospel was did not profit them any because those who heard it didn't mix it with faith, right? And so, but God is speaking. God is speaking. So after I was looking at Heidi Bakery, I clicked on a video, and here's Catherine Kuhlman. You know Catherine. And Catherine is going on, and I'm listening to her, and she's talking so intimately about the Holy Spirit. And she's talking about, you know, I must obey the Holy Spirit. And I'm watching this, I'm going, wow, this is really beautiful. Okay, let me get back to this. I want to show you a few things. One thing in particular, not a few things, I'm only after one thing today. I've already said it in case I mess it up again. Okay, I want you to hear the voice of God. See, because what happened, as far as we know, when God created the earth, the Bible says, when God opened his mouth, listen, every time when God speaks, there is creative power that comes out of it. Why do we say, watch what you say to one another? Why is it that parents say to their children, don't talk to your sister like, don't talk to your brother? It's not just about being nice. Hello? We are made in the image of God. God opened his mouth, spoke, and world came into existence. You know, atmosphere and all these things came about, and you say, for real? Yes. Not only that, but when God speaks, life comes out of him. Life comes out of him. The Bible says when Jesus was here, this is just a side note, when Jesus was here, when he was walking through the streets, people were thronging him to touch him. You know why? Because it says this, that when people touched him, life power went out of him. Listen, power went out of his body and just healed people. Power literally went out of his body and healed people. So when the centurion servant, when the centurion came up to Jesus, said, would you please come heal my servant? And Jesus said, I'll come to your house. The centurion said, no, you don't have to come to my house. This is what he said. Just say
the word. Just say the word, Jesus. Why? Because when God speaks, oh my God, Lord help us to hear you speaking. And he is not silent, beloved. Come on, he is not silent. So it says here, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Well, now if you read that, it'll almost sound like faith encircled those walls. But faith didn't encircle those walls. Faith was in the people that circled those walls. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. It's, you know, if we were to look at these two scriptures in their entirety, we would find out two things. One, that faith, in one instance, caused the walls to come down, walls of protection. That was Jericho. But for Rahab, faith caused the walls of protection to go up. Come on now. Because it all happened because God spoke. And you and I can't have faith until he speaks. Now watch this. Listen. Now, if God spoke to Heidi to step on that man's foot. But you know, you can't go around just stepping on people's feet. Guess what? Why? Because, well, you better be able to defend yourself. You better have your act together because you just can't do that. Listen, you can only do it if God tells you to do it. If God tells you to do it. I'll never forget a speaker that college I was going to, distance college, I was going to out in Portland. One of the speakers came, and he had a ministry of ministering to the Indians up in the hills. And he had done this on more than one occasion. During the heavy rainy season out in Oregon, there's this river that he has to cross. Well, when the rains are heavy, the river swells, and it overflows all of its banks. And but he's driving. He drives up to this river. He says, Lord, I've got to get to these Indians. And the Lord spoke to him and said, proceed. That's what the Lord said. Now here's this river. He's in his truck. He's in his truck. And the Lord said, proceed. So he puts his truck in gear and he drives into the water. And the laws of gravity, everything's still working. He drove down onto the riverbed. Water, he sees, he says, trees are floating overhead. All kinds of debris are floating in this water. He's driving through. He says, I'm just praying in the Holy Ghost. He said, Jesus told me to go, so I went. He drove on through, drove down the bottom of the river, came up on the other side, and kept on going to minister to the Indians who were in the, that he was ministered to. He's done this multiple times. I heard him tell the story. I heard him tell the story. And yet, about, I don't know, maybe 5 or 7 years ago, I heard of some Christians who tried to do the same thing, and they were all drowned. They were all drowned. So you better know, you have to know, you have to have heard from God. You have to have heard from God, because when God speaks, oh my God. Oh, you know, listen, one of the greatest things, as I'm thinking about this, that has ever happened, and you would agree with this, is the fact that God has actually spoken. Listen, because if God doesn't speak, we can't even know him. Huh? God is the self-revealing God. Come on. What's that? Matthew 16 and 15, when Jesus, his minister, was asking the disciples, and Peter says, you know, Jesus, who am I? He says, thou art the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ. And you know what Jesus said. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to me, but my Father. But my Father, you see. And so when God spoke to Peter, then Peter could have faith and declare what he declared. But God has to speak. So even in this circumstance, let me read it again. It says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Now the root of this, the root of all of this chapter 11, the root is God spoke. That's the root. So let me take you back to it. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2. This is what it reads. Verse 1 says, now Jericho was shut up tightly because of the children of Israel. Verse 1. Verse 2 says this. And the Lord said to Joshua. Now I get excited. This is what I read now. And the Lord said to Joshua. When was the last time the Lord said something to you? And I'm not being real deep here, because I know that the last time the Lord spoke to you, whether you know it or not, was probably in the last 24 hours. You know what I mean? You mean God said something to me? Oh, yeah. Are you his child? Whoa, yeah, I kind of think I was. Well, are you his child? Do fathers talk to their children? Yes, they do. Do fathers live in their children? Not last time, not time. I don't live in my child. How many of you know that it's a whole lot easier to speak to someone you're living inside of? I'm going to leave that alone. Listen, Joshua 6 and 2 says, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. So the way this whole thing started, that the wall, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. The way it started, it had its genesis in the fact that God said, I have given you Jericho. Now, and so then they began to walk around something. When was the last time you began to walk around something and claim it's yours because God said it was yours? Come on. When God said that, then God spoke and he gave them a strategy and he told them what to do. I remember it was me and my twin sister, me and Pam, our car broke down and we were walking 2 or 3 miles to work in the summer, sweating and carrying on and what have you. And so one day we lived in Vienna, we decided we're going to walk to Tyson's Corner and look at some cars. We're young, we don't have any money, you know, we're poor. We love Jesus, but we didn't have a lot. And so we walk up to JKJ Chevrolet, and we look at this Chevy Chevette, red Chevy Chevette. I'll never forget it. And we looked at it, and there was this unction that came. I said, Pamela, do you feel that? She's like, what? I'm like, I just feel like, I said, let's walk around this car, you know. Now, God didn't tell us to walk around the car, but we're young in Jesus. And you know how young children are, right? Young children do stuff and parents go, oh, isn't that cute, you know, and they help them out, you know. And they, you know, so me and Pam, we're walking around this car, and we're claiming this car. And I said, Lord Jesus, you know, we're walking and sweating, and it's hot, but we really need some transportation. And so we're walking around this car, and our financing went through. And we bought the car. We look in the car, and it's a 5-speed. And neither one of us have driven a 5-speed before in our life. And so Pamela looks in the car. She says, Packet. You know, they call me Packet. How are we going to get the car home? I said, oh, that ain't no problem. Well, why ain't no problem? You ain't never driven one. I said, but I've seen people drive one. I haven't seen them drive it. She said, okay, we got it home. We drove it home. But we felt like God had spoken to us that was the car. And when God speaks, something always happens. The will of God always happens. So when God spoke to Joshua, he not only told them what would happen, but he told them how it would happen. That's another thing about hearing from God. Listen. That when we hear from God, We have to be patient because there may come instruction as to why he's telling us to do what we're doing. Back to Heidi Baker, I was listening to her testimony, and she was just sharing things with the church that she was at. Excuse me. And she was sharing how that years ago she went to school, and the Lord said, go get your bachelor's degree. So she said, okay, go get my bachelor's degree. But she, you know, she's not school type. She's not the academic type. She'd rather just minister to her. And the Lord came back a few years later and said, go get your master's degree. She said, Lord, for real? Okay, I'm not going to question. Go get your master's degree. And then she thought she was all done, and the Lord said, go get your PhD. And she got her PhD. And some 20 years later, the Lord told her, I want you to found a college. I want you to found a school. Then she understood, because the Lord hadn't told her that 20 years before. But he told her then, I want you to found this college. And all the miracles that have happened since she's done that, on and on and on. But she obeyed the voice of the Lord. So, I want to now just kind of turn back, go back to, and show you now, again, I've done this before, but I want to show you again, in Hebrews chapter 11, back at the beginning, how that all of these people, these great acts of faith, and when we read the book of, when we read Hebrews chapter 11, some people call it the Hall of Faith. And we're like, oh man, the person had great faith. And they did. But when I read it, I'm not looking at the person who had great faith. I'm thinking about what God did to ignite the faith that they had. See, because God said, son, pay attention to me because it's me first, me first. And you know, that, in our world, that sounds kind of selfish. In our world, me first, boy, what's wrong with you? Think about it. No. But with him, beloved, it's literal. It's life. God first. And so when we go back and we look at how it's read, verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The worlds were framed by the word of God. And so when we look at Proverbs 18 and 21 that says death and life are in the power of the tongue, we read it, we quote it, and then we go on about our business and turn around next moment and we're cutting on somebody or whatever it is. We just miss it. We miss it. But for God, it's literal. Literal. Okay? That when he speaks, so God is still amazing to me. When I walk outside and look at the beautiful weather, look at the trees and everything, and to think, God created this by speaking. By speaking. And because we're made in his image, he has given us a language. He's given us a voice so that we can speak. And the same thing that happens, but on a much lower level, that we are can be creative in what we say. Okay? And when I said creative, I'm not talking about creative and put it on Broadway. I'm talking about speak a creative word, a creative miracle. I was watching a video earlier today where one pastor was just getting, you know, matter of fact, think about this. What is a word of knowledge? But a word that comes from God. And when you get it and speak it, faith comes in the person who has the illness for them to stand up and say, that's me. I believe God's going to heal me. He gave you the knowledge. I believe. And God just does that. He gives a word of knowledge. He speaks into your spirit so you can call it out and faith arises in the person's heart. And because it's not just God, God was looking for faith on their part too to be healed. You see? But it all starts with God speaking, prophecy, word of wisdom. Word of knowledge, all these things. Okay? So it goes on and it says, by faith Abel offered to God a more sacrifice. Okay. Where did God speak to Abel? He spoke to Abel through Adam, who continued offering up blood sacrifice so that he could have a relationship with God. That would be easy to see in the scripture. It's not there pinned black and white, but when you look through all of this, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch walked with God and was not. Let me ask you something. Who do you think initiated the walk with God? Can I tell you who? Yes, God did. Enoch heard from God. And when God wanted to walk with Enoch, Enoch decided to walk with God. But it's always God first. God first. That's why when I wake up in the middle of the night and there's scriptures running through my mind or a song, and the other day it was great as I said, that song was running through my spirit. I could not sleep. I recognized that God had awakened me to hear. He had awakened me to spend time with him. And because he had awakened me, then I'm going to choose to be with you, God. That's what happened with Enoch. It was God first. After Enoch's testimony, he goes, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Why is it impossible to please God without faith? Because God is the author of faith. And if he speaks and you don't respond in faith, you can't come to him. Why? Because you've rejected him. So all faith has its genesis in hearing the voice of God. All faith has its genesis or its origin in the word or the voice of the Lord. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, being divinely warned. By faith, Noah moved with godly fear. Why did he move with godly fear? Because he heard from God that God's going to destroy everything living. Then he moved. Why? Because he couldn't move until God had spoken to him. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because this makes the voice of God so precious. This makes hearing from God, I mean, it always has been, always should be, but this makes it primary. You understand? This change, listen, Deuteronomy 8 and chapter 3, 8 and verse 3 says this. I brought you all the way through that wilderness so that you would know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Wait a second. Isn't that figurative? God's just, you know, he's just showing them that, no, go back and read the account. God brought them through the wilderness. He provided for their every need. How did he do that? Well, they acted up, right? And they acted out of sorts. But God spoke over and over again. God spoke to Moses. They needed water. Moses, speak to the rock. Otherwise, they would have locked Moses up for speaking to rocks. But see, God, and we got people who speak to rocks today. Yeah, they speak to their plants. They speak to everything. You're nice. Plant. Did God tell you to speak to that plant? No, I just heard that they grow well if you speak to it. Well, I suggest you stop talking to that plant. Why don't you talk to God? No! You see, Moses, God led them through that, and we literally live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. Or put it this way, we would live even more so if we listen to every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus said this in John 5:25. He said, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man, and those who hear shall live. Those who hear shall live. That's John 5:25. In John chapter 11, Jesus went and demonstrated it. He didn't lay hands on Lazarus. He went and stood outside of the grave and said, Lazarus! And Lazarus, though dead, heard the voice of God and was Lazarus came alive. What? A dead person, literally dead, heard the voice of the Son of God. And Jesus said, those who hear shall live. And Lazarus came to life. Now I know he was primarily talking about the spirit, but he demonstrated in the natural. And you and I, beloved, whatever, I don't care. You say, but I've had so much going in my life, I feel like I'm dead inside. That's okay. That's all right. All you need is one word. One word from our God. He'll resurrect everything that died. That's the God that we're in love with. That's the God who has redeemed us, you see. So it goes on, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called. Why did he go out? Because God called him to go out. By faith Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Why did she receive strength to conceive seed? Because in Genesis 18, God comes to Abraham sitting in a tent. He says, where's your wife? He says, she's in the tent. He says, I will return to you according to the time of life. That means 9 months pregnant. Okay. According to the time of life, and your wife shall bear a son. Now, when God said that, when he said that, this is what is inherent in a word from God. When God speaks, all the power necessary for what he said to be done is in what he said. You understand that? Come on now. Listen, that means that when I hear, I am responsible for everything I hear, because what I hear, power is resident in it to bring it to pass. That's why one of the worst things you can do is to reject the word of the Lord. Worst thing. Jesus said, all sins shall be forgiven men. But he who rejects the Holy Spirit, rejecting the Holy Spirit, speaking to you, this is God speaking to you. If you reject him, there remains no more sacrifice for them. Can't help you. Why? Because the one who is speaking to you to bring you life, you reject it. Now you're left with this. What's left? Death. Can't do anything. So, when God speaks, I want to do a sermon that's just called When God Speaks. Listen, he speaks in a multitude of ways. I love this. Psalm 19, verse 1, says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows forth his handiwork. Watch this. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night shows forth knowledge. You say, some people haven't heard the voice of God. Oh, they haven't? The heavens declare. Oh, what do you mean? The heavens declare the glory of God. Who made the heavens? God. What does that translate into? Oh, we've all heard his voice. Listen, long before, I was 19 when I got saved. Long before, I remember being 8 years old, outside praying, looking up at the sky and go, God, you sure did make a big sky. I mean, this is, everywhere I look is blue. You know, you were a child. I remember Justin, when he was young, you walked out on the steps one day, Sunday morning or whatever, he said, hello, world! You know, he's just, hello, world! He's just awed by how big things are, you see. But Psalm 19, it goes on, listen. Verse 3 says this, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their voice. There is no speech or language. What about all the people up in the Brazilian? Hello? No speech or language. Their line has gone throughout all the earth and their words to the end of the world. You say, is God speaking? Listen, God, we can go into Romans 1 if you want to see this, but God has put his speaking voice into creation itself. He put it there. It speaks loudly. It speaks very clearly. I'm going to turn to Romans. You know this passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 1 says it very clearly. Listen to this. Verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, listen, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now watch this. Suppress means to hold back, keep down, okay? And so they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Oh, would that be true or blessed? Yes, it is true. From the creation of the world, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And here you have scientists. They call these old folks back here who wrote the Bible, and they said, those people weren't educated. They didn't know. They thought thunder was the voice of God, and then lightning bolts, when they came and struck something, they thought God was judging things. We have all this knowledge. Look at what we know. And those are the folks who are saying, God couldn't possibly have made this. We have no scientific evidence that God exists. We can't observe it anywhere. And yet God has put it everywhere. We can't observe it anywhere, yet God has put it everywhere. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify God as God, nor did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. God has put everything here for his voice to be heard. Okay? That would include for you and I the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and God speaking from the inside out. I want to read a passage. This is an intimate passage of scripture between the Lord and Israel. Prophesied by the prophet Ezekiel. And he says, in Ezekiel 16:1, listen to this. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations and say, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan. In other words, he's calling them, he's talking about Jerusalem, and he's calling them, you were actually not a covenant people. Remember that. He was talking to Israel. Your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. Beloved, if you were a Jew, that's an insult. Okay? If you're a Jew, that's an insult. But God is laying it out as it was. He's showing them, I called you out of your darkness. I called you out of being unchosen, and I chose you to make you my people. Very important. He goes on and he says this. As for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes. No, I pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. But you were thrown out into the open field when you yourself were loathed on the day you were born. Can you imagine that? God is giving them a word, and figuratively he's talking to them about how needy they were. Not rubbed with salt, not wrapped in swaddling clothes. You didn't have the blood washed off of you. Navel cord wasn't cut, and to make it all just so bad, no one had compassion on you. They threw you out into an open field. Talk about rejection. But listen at verse 6. And when I passed by you, and saw you struggling in your own blood. Look, Jesus, when I read this, this is me. This is me. This is me thrown out into that open field. When I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, listen, I said to you in your blood, live. 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 God spoke and said to them, live. I said to you in your blood, live. And I made you thrive like a plant in the field. And when God speaks, that's what comes out of him. Life. Life.
He put Adam and Eve in the garden, and he said, one command. But remember, everything that comes out of him, when he speaks, it's always life. So when he said, don't eat from the tree, it was life. Listen, when God speaks to you and me, it's not for his benefit. We have nothing to benefit him with. He has everything. When God speaks to you and I, it is for our benefit. For our benefit. And may I add, because I always say that the blessing is never just for us. But he has other people in mind. Amen. When he speaks to us. So when we go through Hebrews chapter 11, we go on through, and he goes back into Isaac, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Joseph, remember Joseph when he was when Joseph was leaving, or when he was dying, the Bible says Joseph said to the children of Israel, he says God's going to visit you, and he's going to take you back to the land of Canaan. And when you leave, what do you say? Take my bones. Take my bones. Why did Joseph say that? Because God had spoken to him a word, a prophetic word, that you're going to leave Egypt. See, that's what happened when I told you a couple of weeks ago, my grandfather was dying on the side of the bed, and he called me and my three sisters in on the side of the bed, and he began to prophesy. And we're all unsaved. He prophesied to unsaved people. But it didn't matter, because he was releasing and saying what God wanted him to say. And therefore, the power of it was released. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months. How did those parents hear from God? They saw that this was an unusually beautiful, chosen child. God spoke just in that way to them. Moses began to understand that he was not called to be the Pharaoh's daughter, because God had spoken to him that it's time for him to rise up and deliver the children of Israel. So when we come on down, when we look at this whole passage of Scripture, we see that what happened in Jericho was started by God. I'm saying all of this because I've been in the Lord for 20-plus years, and I've heard sermon after sermon after sermon, and I've seen people lifted up to their destruction. I've seen people laud and applaud people to their demise. I've seen the focus on man. And in Psalm 36 and 39 and 6 says, man in his best state is altogether vanity. Man in his best condition is altogether a wisp of smoke. And so why do we put all this attention on man? God, where are you in all this? And God says, son, I'm the one who started it all. I started it all. To God be all the glory. See? God speaks, we obey, we thrive. That's the way it works. All throughout this passage of Scripture. So, we looked at Joshua real quick. I just want to deal with Rahab the harlot, because that actually came before chapter 6 of Joshua. In the narrative, it came like in chapter 3 and 4 and 5. So, when they sent the spies to spy out the town of Jericho. So, verse 31 of Hebrews 11 says, by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish. Doesn't matter what you've done in your past. According to this, for Rahab, it didn't matter that she was a harlot. If she was a harlot, they say that all these things. I'm not concerned about that. God said she was a harlot. The main thing is this: by faith. By faith. Now I said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This says by faith that Rahab had faith. And because of it, she did not perish with those who did not believe. Did you notice the rest of the people didn't believe what God said? Did you know that? There were a whole bunch of people in Jericho. Only a few came out alive. And those few that came out alive because of one woman's faith. Rahab. Did you know that Rahab, so if you're doing the math with me, if Rahab had faith, then that means Rahab had to hear from God. True. Where did Rahab hear from God? Is it in? Oh, yes, in the scripture. Just got to dig around. So, did you know this? That God had spoken to all the inhabitants of Jericho. But only Rahab and her family were saved. You know that happens today, you see. God speaks. But not all are saved. What was God's message to the Jerichonians, if you want to? The people of Jericho. Well, in Joshua chapter 2, I'm going to read what it says. Joshua chapter 2, starting verse 8, this is what it says. It says, now before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to them, I like her first words, I know that the Lord has given you the land. I know that the Lord has given you the land. That is a declaration of faith there. Okay, but not the primary one. But it is because she has faith in what God is going to do. And we'll see in a second that she has faith in what God has already done. So she says, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us. So she first states what she believes, but then she begins to talk about the state of the people of Jericho, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. So here are how these people of Jericho, this is the condition that they're in. Verse 10 reads, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. We have heard how that the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. Now listen, church. They are about to go into Canaan. God had spoken to them through the Red Sea incident. They said, we have heard of how the Lord brought you through the Red Sea. Now, let me ask you something. How long have they heard that? How long were the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness? 40 years. She said, we have heard of how the Lord brought you through the Red Sea. So God had been sending a message to the people of Jericho for how long? 40 years. Hebrews just said that by faith, Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. Those people had been getting a message from God for 40 years. When the people of God showed up, Rahab was the only one who said, I know your God gonna get us because he brought you through the Red Sea. She didn't stop there. She went on and said, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon, listen to what she says, as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Their hearts melted. Her heart believed. As soon as we heard these things, as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, now here's the primary. Here's her primary statement of faith. For the Lord your God, this is what she says. He is God. He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. He is God. Hebrews 11:6. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder. And she was rewarded with her life. Why? Because she believed. And so that's the main declaration of her faith. She goes to them and says, now therefore I beg you,
Swear to me before the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house. And give me a true token. Spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that we have, and deliver our lives from death. And that's exactly what happened. So Rahab's faith was initiated by what God did 40 years before. God was laying the foundation for Rahab's faith 40 years before she came to trust in him ultimately at that moment. Can I tell you, he's doing the same thing today? Before you and I even came to him, he was laying foundation for the day that you and I would trust him as Lord. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. May we continue to trust the Lord concerning our salvation. Listen, and everything in between. See, God gave us faith to be saved. But everything you and I need in between now until we are redeemed is included in that faith. He's given us faith to be saved, faith to be healed, faith to be delivered, faith, all of this. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you, O God, for your eternal word, that the word that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same with, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Father, we thank you for this Bible that we have. We thank you for the Logos, the written Word. We thank you for the living Word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who lives within us. For the Holy Spirit who speaks to us, O God, through dreams and visions and unctions and in a myriad of ways, Father. Thank you that you called us to hear your voice. Thank you, O God, that when we hear, faith is ignited in our spirit. Thank you that when you speak, O God, everything that we need, O God, to see, Lord, your word come to pass is resident with what in what you spoke to us. Now, Father, I pray. I pray that we would hear more clearly your voice. I pray, oh God, that we would grow sensitive, oh God. We would know what it means to grow quiet in our own spirits, oh God. I pray, oh God, that when we hear, we would obey. Oh my God. I pray, Lord, that when we hear, we would obey so that your will could be done in our lives, so that your blessing could flow, Lord, to many others, oh God, through our obedience. Oh, Father, thank you that you speak in this hour and in this day. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would come to treasure your voice. Lord, that we would treasure and know that we live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Now strengthen and bless, I pray, your people according to your word that lives within, according to the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray, in Jesus' holy name. And everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you real good.